Pasuk Yedzayin, we have what seems to be a relatively innocuous pasuk. Vayotze Moshe el ha'am lekrat ha'elokim. Moshe leaves for the nation to greet God, min ha'machane, from the camp, v'yitiatzvu b'tachtit ha'har. And they stand at the bottom of the mountain, right? Seems pretty easy. Moshe went out, he's going to greet God, and he stands at the base of the mountain. This is in preparation for Matan Torah, that they are about to receive the Torah. They have been prepared. They have cleansed themselves for 3 days. They have not approached the mountain, and now they are preparing. And it's time to receive the Torah. Here it says they were standing b'tachtit ha'har, at the base of the mountain. However, Rashi takes this pasuk that seems pretty innocuous, and he references a Gemara and Midrashim that quote this Gemara as well, that make this very far from innocuous. What am I talking about? Rashi there comments, b'tachtit ha'har, at the base of the mountain, lefipshuto, b'reglei ha'har, if we're looking according to the basic meaning, which we did originally, this is saying that they were standing at the foot of the mountain. U'midrasho shenitlash ha'har mimekomo. However, the Midrash tells us that the mountain was picked up from its place, v'nichpa aleihem kigigi, and it was put above their heads like a barrel, or like something that was impending doom. There was something held on top of them. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Pei Ches Amud Aleph tells us, what was it doing there? What is kafa aleihem har kigigi? That it was like a roof on top of them. The Gemara explains, as do many midrashim, v'yitiatzvu b'tachtit ha'har, that they were held there underneath the mountain. Amar avadimi barchama barchasa. Milamid shekafa HaKadosh Baruch Hu aleihem et ha'har kigigi. This teaches us that Hashem picked up the mountain and put it above them like a roof above their heads. The Amar lahem, and Hashem said to them, im atem mekablim ha'torah, if you accept the Torah, mutav, it will be good for you. V'im lav, but if not, Sham Tehig Furaschem. Here is going to be your burial place, implying that what was going to happen? If they accepted the Torah, the mountain would be put down nicely, nobody would be harmed in the process. However, if they decided to not accept the Torah, then Sham Tehig Furaschem, drop, and there goes the entire Jewish people. They would be crushed underneath the mountain. That this, rather than being a collective acceptance of the Torah, that everyone was here on their own volition, ready to accept the Torah, this was a situation of coercion. That Hashem was saying, as you see in the title, deal or no deal. If you accept my Torah, you're good to go. If you don't accept my Torah, Sham Tehik Buraslam, this is the end of the Jewish people. So is that really a choice? Oh, you can either accept the Torah or die. This is a little bit alarming, especially because if we go back to the text, we remain pretty innocuous, that their acceptance of the Torah seems to be pretty unilateral, and it seems to be pretty forthcoming, that it doesn't seem from the text itself like there's any other sort of mention of coercion. Let's look into the text to see that I'm telling you the truth. In Shemot Perek Yotet, Pasuk Gimel through Vav, V'Moshe ala el ha'elokim v'yikra elav Hashem min ahar limor, this is the introduction from Hashem to Moshe to Am Yisrael of what is going to happen here at Har Sinai. Hashem says through Moshe to the nation that you saw all of what I did to Mitzrayim, and I picked you up on the wings of eagles, and I brought you to me. Ve'ata, and now, im shamoa tishmu bekoli u'shmartam et briti v'hayitam li segula mikol ha'amim ki li kol ha'aret, and Hashem says, and if you follow in all of my ways, then you will be for me segula mikol ha'amim, you will be unique, you will be special for me from all of the other nations. Ve'atam tihiyu li mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh, you will be for me im mamlechas kohanim, a nation of kohanim, a nation of holy people, v'goy kadosh. And Hashem says, these are the things, Moshe, that you should tell B'nai Yisrael. There is no mention yet here of, please let them know that now they get to make a completely life-altering decision. Either they can accept the Torah or they can die. Hashem says, if you accept my ways, I will promise you this beautiful relationship between myself and you. I promise you that you will become segula, you will be special for me. Mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh, you will be an elevated nation. No mention of lifting up any mountains, no mention of dropping any mountains, no mention of threatening language. Just this beautiful poem from Hashem to Bnei Yisrael of Ava'atem Tihiyu Li Mamlachas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. So let's continue on. How then does Bnei Yisrael respond? Maybe in their response, we would see a hint to this coercion of sorts. So in this week's parsha, we have their response recorded as in Shemos Perek Yitzhak Pasach Chet Ve'ya'anu Kol Ha'am Yachta Ve'yomru Kol Asher Diber Hashem Na'aseh. Bnei Yisrael answer together, and they say, everything that Hashem commanded us, na'asa, we will do. Vayisha Moshe et Divrei Ha'am El Hashem. And Hashem brings back the words of Bnei Yisrael to Hashem. Four prakim ahead, no longer in this week's parsha, but we have the response that is perhaps more famous to us. Vayavo Moshe v'yisaper et kol Divrei Hashem ve'et kol ha'mishpatim v'ya'an kol ha'am kol achad v'yamru kol ha'dvarim asher diber Hashem na'asa. Moshe tells over to them the rest of the laws and the rest of the ordinances and the rest of the dinim. And unilaterally, in one united voice, they say, Na'asa. Ve'ichtov Moshe kol divrei Hashem ve'yashkim v'boker ve'yiven mizbeach tachat ahar v'shtim esrei matziva l'shnim asar shiftei Yisrael. So then it's the next morning. Everything's still going great. Moshe builds a mizbeach. He wakes up early in the morning and he builds set 12 places each for one of the shvatim. Vayishlach na'arei bnei Yisrael ve'yalu olotu ve'yizbichu zvachim shlamim l'Hashem parim. And everyone comes and they sacrifice to Hashem. Ve'yikach Moshe chatzi adam ve'yasem ba'agunot ve'chatzi adam zarak al mizbeach. And Moshe deals with the blood according to the laws that they now know. Ve'yikach sefer habrit ve'yikra ba'aznei ha'am. And Moshe took the sefer habrit, the sefer Torah, and he reads it in the ears of all of the nation. Ve'yamru kol asher diber Hashem na'asa v'nishma. And the whole nation say, as is a phrase that is known throughout everywhere. It's quoted the most often. People don't usually just say na'asa. We have this phrase of na'asa v'nishma. That Bnei Israel, there's this entire ceremony where they hear of the Torah, they learn the rules of the Torah, they sacrifice to Hashem, and then they say, everything that Hashem told us, na'ase v'nishma. We will do and we will listen. And Bnei Yisrael, as we know, are typically praised for their response here. Then it wasn't just na'ase. It wasn't nishma v'na'ase that let us learn and then we will keep. It was na'ase v'nishma, that we are willing to follow in Hashem's ways. We are willing to listen to Hashem and then nishma. And then we will hear. We will act because we believe in the cause. We believe in Hashem. And then we will listen. And then we will come to understand it fully. So in the text, it seems to be pretty easygoing here, like Hashem offered us the Torah in this beautiful way, and we're very excited about it, and we say Nasa and Nasa v'nishma, and we accept it wholeheartedly. But we can't disregard a Gemara, and a Midrash would not come to teach us something, even if it did not necessarily happen exactly as is recorded in the Midrash, as is how we typically understand Midrashim, that some Midrashim are meant to be understood literally and many are not, but all of them come to teach us something. So what I want to try to understand today from our three approaches is, how do we understand, based on the portrayal of the event in the Midrashim and the Gemaras, and based on the text, how do we understand what actually happens here at Har Sinai? What was Bnei Yisrael's attitude in accepting the Torah? So we're going to look at three approaches. And again, many of the sources are not here on the page, and I apologize, but I will read them with us together, and you'll definitely be able to follow along. So we are approaching three approaches as to what really happened at Matan Torah and what was Bnei Yisrael's attitude. Were they coerced by Hashem? Did they accept the Torah willingly and lovingly? Or is it some sort of combination of the both? So the first approach that I want to look at is from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in his Svarim Emes LeYaakov al HaTorah. So in his writings on Parshas Yisro, on Pasuk Yedek, Perek Yedet Pasuk Gimel, Ko Tomar LeBeis Yisrael, we're in the second paragraph, V'hinei Amru Chazal, B'Masech HaShabbos. Chazal tell us in Masech HaShabbos, V'yitiyatfu Tachtit Ahar, Milamid Shekafa Aleim Har Kigigis. He quotes the Gemara that tells us that Hashem picked up the mountain and held it above them like a roof over their heads. And Tosfos has a question there. Shehikshu hakfar hikdimu na'aseh v'nishma. Don't we already know that Bnei Yisrael said na'aseh v'nishma? V'lamalo l'chvot ha'har aleihem. V'nishma v'lamalo l'chvot ha'har aleihem. Why then would Hashem lift the mountain on top of them if they've already said na'aseh v'nishma? Then there is another instance of na'aseh v'nishma that comes earlier as well. So there's Naaseh and Ishmael. Why would Hashem then pick up the mountain over their head? Doesn't it seem extraneous? Like, okay, if you come in and you say, Emma, I would like to offer you this job. And I say, okay, I will gladly accept it. Then 10 minutes later, you come into the room with a gun, point the gun to my head. And you say, if you don't accept the job, I'm going to shoot you. And I say, but okay, I accept it, but I already accepted it before. What is the point in even coming in the second time in this very forceful manner? Vitirtsu Chazal. And Chazal tried to answer. Shema yehiyu chuzrim kishiru ha'ish ha'gadol v'yetzta nishmatan ad kan l'shono. So the first possible answer is that it wanted to make sure that they were still committed, even when they were going to see the Ish, when they were going to see the loud, spectacular events of Har Sinai that could have been quite frightening. Even then, we wanted to make sure that they were going to accept the Torah. However, he suggests another explanation that you can say that Hashem had to come in more forcefully because once they saw all of the hoopla around Har Sinai, they were quite afraid and they wanted to back out. So Hashem asks them again, but in a much more forceful way that pushes them to accept it, even though they were afraid in the moment. However, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky offers a different approach based on a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Al tihiyu ka'avadim ha-mishamshin es harav al menat l'kabal pras. You should not be like a servant who serves his master for the sake of receiving a prize. V'chule v'hiyu mora shamayim aleichem, and the fear of heaven should be upon you. V'bi'arti b'chidushe l'perkei avos, and I have written in my explanation on Pirkei Avos, sham sheb'emet richim l'shnei ha'inyanim, that really, you need both ideas. Hainu ha'avodah me'ahava v'ha'avodah mi'yira. There has to be two aspects of our avodas Hashem. There has to be ahava mi'yira. There has to be avoda mi'yira. We have to serve Hashem out of fear. Ve'avodah me'ahava. And there has to be serving Hashem out of love. Because we really need the combination of both, because sometimes we won't feel the love strong enough, and sometimes we won't feel the fear strong enough in order to propel us to where we need to be. Even though Bnei Israel had already accepted the Torah upon themselves out of love, Naaseh v'nishma, mikol makom miyira lo nasu, they had not yet accepted the Torah out of fear. The Alzeram Zaha Ish Hagdola. This is the hint in the great fire that appears on Har Sinai. The Kemoshika to Viparshas Ve'achanan, Minha Shamayim Hishmi Icha Kololi Yasarcha. Veti Show Hagdola. Hari should be Erhakatov to Ish Haitali Yirata Unesh. The fire that appeared on Har Sinai was in order to instill in them a fear of the punishments that they could possibly receive. If Hashem can do such miraculous things as give us the Torah from within this giant fire, what else could Hashem possibly do to us? And that was the ounce of fear that it was meant to instill. The Ilmale ba'u le'isa v'le'yishma'al b'kfiyas ha'har. Gam kin hayu mekablin et ha-Torah. But can't we say in the Midrash where we talk about that Hashem offered to each of the nations the Torah before he came to Am Yisrael? And can't we say that had Hashem offered the Torah to Esav at risk of death, or he had offered the Torah to Yishma'al at risk of death, that he had lifted upon them the mountain, wouldn't they have accepted the Torah as well? Of course they would have accepted it. But they would have been lacking on the other end. Bnei Israel first were able to accept the Torah out of love. They said, Naaseh v'nishma, Hashem had already said to them, if you accept my ways, if you do everything that I tell you, then we can build this relationship to something more. The love was already there. So therefore, even if the other nations had accepted the Torah out of fear, that the mountain had been upon them like a gigit, like a roof upon their heads that could immediately come crashing down, they would have accepted the Torah surely, but there would not have been the element of ahava. There would not have been the love that was present. That they were already bought in. So this was not even really a threat. It was just adding an extra layer to their commitment to Torah. That they had already accepted the Torah. Hashem knew he was not going to follow through and kill them all here. He already knew the answer was going to be yes. But this was meant to instill within them that element of fear that until this point they had been lacking. They had the love, but they needed that element of fear. But we see because Hashem did not give the Torah to the other nations, that had they not originated with Ahava, had they not begun the process with love, Hashem would never have given them the Torah at all. And therefore, Hashem is very, very particular in the way that he gives over Torah to us. Because Hashem was nervous that because of Moshe's enthusiasm, perhaps they would want to come to Torah in a way that was not sincere. Ad kama maga'at ne'amanuto she'yichula limsura Torah al yado li'Yisrael. However, Hashem did believe that Moshe was trustworthy in order to pass through him the Torah to Bnei Yisrael. Ki bevaday lifi hakarato shel Moshe, Rabbeinu bevaday chafit hayashe Yisrael yikablu et haTorah, ve'ilma le'ne'amanuto min haro'oi hayashe yusif lahem dvarim mishalo, aval ilu asakim lo hayaro'oi shetinatin Torah al yado. Moshe was therefore an appropriate conduit because Hashem needed to make sure that the person who was going to pass along Torah was going to be able to pass along to them these two elements, Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, that it was going to remain completely focused on Hashem and what Hashem said and developing a direct connection between Bnei Israel and Hashem in an appropriate way, not with Moshe acting in an intermediary, as an intermediary who influences them at all. Ki kama drashot anu mutziyim mitor shel ot, ואילו היה משה משנה דבר מה, אם כי אין הכרח שכך נאמר, וזהו ניסיון גדול. And this was the greatest challenge for Moshe, was that he should simply be there to directly convey the word of Hashem, that he should not get in the way of them creating this direct relationship. So again, the first approach, the approach of the Emes Liakov, of Yaakov Kamenetsky, is that what really happened here at Har Sinai? Let's reread it with the lens of Rav Yaakov, that he says, what happened originally? Bnei Israel came and they said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we gladly accept the Torah. Whatever Hashem tells us, we are going to do. Then following this, Hashem picks up and it says they were v'tachti tahar, that Moshe picked up, that Hashem picked up the mountain and was holding it above their heads and said, if you accept my Torah, mutav, if you accept the Torah, it will be great. And if not, sham tehik v'raskam. That Hashem is adding this element of fear, that they are able to recognize the extreme power of Hashem, that Hashem made fire and thunder and lightning all to imbue this fear in Am Yisrael. Because had they just come with love, it wouldn't have been enough. They would not have been able to accept the rest of the Torah. However, had it only been with fear and not with love, Hashem would have never given them the Torah at all. So that is approach number one, is that Hashem was just adding the element of Yirah to their already established relationship of Ahava. The next approach is the approach. Sorry, hold on. I mixed up all my papers. Hold on one second. The approach number two is the approach of the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes is the Ger Rebbe. And this is based on the Gemara in Shabbos, which is the explanation of the story that we are talking about here at the mountain. The Gemara in Shabbos on Peiches Amin Aleph states, Amar Chizki, Amadichtiv, Mishamayim Hishmi'ata Din Eret Yirah Vishakita. Im Yira, Lama Shakta. V'im Shakta, Lama Yira. Ella. Betchila, Yira, Ubisov Shakta. It says that there was elements of silence at Matan Torah, and there was elements of fear. Im Yira, if there's fear, why was there silence? V'im Shakta, and if there's silence, why was there fear? Ella Betchila, Yira, Ubisov Shakta. It says they started off the process with fear, and they ended off the process with silence. V'lama Yira, why was there fear in this experience? Back at the time of the creation of the world, it says that there was day and there was night and there was the sixth day. Hashem yitira lama. Hey yitira lama li. Why does it say yom hashishi, the extra hey? Milamid shehitna kadosh baruch hu am maaseh bereishit va'amar lahem. Im Yisrael mekablim hatorah, atem mekaymin. It's bringing this extra letter hey, and this pasuk here is meant to ask us to ask a question. Why is there an extra letter hey there? And it says that this was meant to announce to us a statement from Hashem. That Hashem says, if Bnei Israel are going to accept the Torah, that they are going to accept hey, five books of the Torah, then Atemikaimin, that they will last. They will remain alive. Ve'imlav, ani machzir atcham letohu v'avohu. That I am going to reverse the actions of the past 6 days. I'm going to undo everything in the world and we will return to tohu v'avohu. So this is perhaps just slightly different language for expressing the same idea that we read in the original Gemara, which was telling us about the picking up of the mountain. This is a very similar idea, that if you accept my Torah, you will be successful, and if you don't, I will return you to nothingness. I will completely destroy you. Based on this Gemara, the Sfas Emes comments. Be'inyan kifiyat ahar kigigi. She'katav ha'tosvo she'hayu yura'im kishiyat'a nishmatan. So what is these Sfas Emes telling us? It's talking about this idea of picking up the mountain. And he says it is written in Tosfos Shehayu Yoreim that they were afraid when their souls would depart. He says here that this whole episode of picking up the mountain on top of their heads was to teach them about the three mitzvot that we must give up our lives rather than violating them. What are these three mitzvot? Shvichas damim, avodah zarah, and gilui arayos, improper relationships, serving of other gods, and killing other people. Belikifi. Ve'in hamoda amoelet shelo yune nashim al kol haTorah rak shelo yahariga al gimel avirus al zayish modia ve'be'emet katav harambam she'im avar ve'lo neharag nechshav ones ayin sham ve'im shomim ma'ida amrinan hadar kiblu habimei achashvirus mi'ikara bimei ishtachavu letzalem Ayin sham shalom asruna sham va'achar kach kishena asela hemnis kiblu gam limsor nafsham b'ritzon kenechtav l'mala.
What in the world is it talking about here? What is this Sfas Emes saying? He's mentioning Achashverosh. He's mentioning the days of the persecution of the Christians, of the Jews. What is this Sfas Emes talking about? He's saying when Bnei Yisrael gladly accepted the Torah, that they said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we accept and we will do. Everything you say is great, Hashem. We are so excited to accept the Torah. The Sfas Emes says, what was lacking in that moment was the Gimel Averos that we are chayav to sacrifice our lives for. The element of Mesiras Nefesh, the high, intense level of commitment to Torah that we must have in order to be Torah observant Jews, was lacking in them at that moment. At that moment, everything was great. Hashem had just saved them. Hashem was totally working on their behalf. Hashem had saved them from Mitzrayim. He had taken them to this point. He was taking care of their every single need. And it is then that they say, not seven Ishmael, of course Hashem will do whatever you have to say. However, what would happen at points throughout history in which their lives were being threatened? And the Torah says in those very, very specific situations, we must be ready to give up our lives. All is no longer hunky-dory. Here, people are not so happy. They do not want to be serving Hashem in this way. And we say that where did they get the strength that was needed to be able to sacrifice their lives, as we know, unfortunately, so many millions of Jews have had to do throughout history, sacrifice their lives al kiddush Hashem, that they are obligated to give up their lives rather than violate the instructions of the Torah. He says this power, this ability, this strength of character comes from this moment here at Matan Torah. That Hashem says most of Torah just requires a certain level of buy-in, of na'aseh v'nishma. That Hashem, whatever you say, we are going to do. We are going to follow in your ways because I promise you will clearly see how it's going to improve your lives. But there are certain elements of Torah that are going to be a little more challenging. Most clearly, the gimel mitzvot that are yaharig val yavor. When I tell you that you must sacrifice your life rather than violating this avera, you are going to need that extra personal strength to be able to say, I am going to give up my life. So therefore, Hashem put them in this situation to make sure they really had that buy-in, that they were really willing to accept the Torah, even at risk of death. That it taught them this lesson that they were going to need to know throughout their lives as observant Jews. And it began right here from the very first moment of Matan Torah. So again, the first approach was that this gave us the element of serving out of Ahava and serving out of Yira. The second approach, the approach of the Sfas Emes, is that by
having us accept the Torah additionally in this way gave us the extra strength, the extra fortitude that we were going to need in order that over the course of history, we would be able to be moser nefesh for Torah. That if we came in a situation where it was appropriate to sacrifice our lives for the sake of Torah, we would have the wherewithal to do so. So that is approach number two. And now finally for approach number three. Approach number three is the approach of the Chidush HaRim. And again, you have to trust me on this one. He is also commenting on our Gemara on Daf Pei Ches Amud Aleph. And the Chidush HaRim states, The Chidush HaRim states, Itza b'shas, v'yitzvu b'tachti tahar, milamid, shekafa kadosh baruch hu aleihem har kegigi. So first he explains to us that the Gemara and the Midrashim tell us that Hashem picked up Har Sinai, and when it says that they were at the base of the mountain, they were really underneath the mountain. Moda araba, hadar kiblu habimei Achashverosh. We have a concept in the days of Achashverosh when it comes to the Purim story, that at the end of the Megillah we say kimu v'kiblu, that the Bnei Yisrael got up and they accepted. And the Mefarshim there ask the question and they say kiblu. What do they accept? And we say kimu mashe kiblu kfar. That although we were coerced into accepting the Torah, potentially, if we're reading just this Midrash and just this Gemara, that Hashem gave us the Torah in this way, that if we say that we were coerced at Har Sinai into accepting the Torah, then at Purim is when we accepted the Torah willingly. Kimu v'kiblu, kimu mashe kiblu kfar. What we had already accepted, perhaps unwillingly, we now accepted willingly and with full hearts. Ayin sham b'tosol, shetamhu ha'amruna aseven nishma v'birtonam kiblu ayin sham. So Tosfos, as we know, asks the question there and says, didn't they already accept the Torah willingly? Na'aseh v'nishma, they said to Hashem, we will do and we will listen. Od yishal havin lama amru chazal. So now we have to understand why Chazal tells us, v'chira tula hakel al Yisrael lihiyot lahem moda'a. Because we wanted to be kind to Bnei Yisrael and we wanted to allow them lihiyot lahem moda'a, that they should have that they should have a certain knowledge. So the Chidush HaRim says very interestingly, we wanted Bnei Yisrael to have a certain reassuring knowledge. What was that reassuring knowledge? He said, Hashem did not take the mountain and put it on top of them. Rather, Hashem lifted up the mountain and they walked under the mountain willingly. Why was that? They wanted the Torah to be upon them like the weight of a mountain. Bnei Yisrael wanted this feeling of the Torah being so strongly upon them. They wanted the feeling that they could not easily violate Torah, that this was going to be like a wall for them, that there was going to be something stopping them. We might understand from originally reading the Gemara that we read that Hashem forced it upon them, but we're saying dafka the opposite here. V'chein kan, im chas v'sham v'chalila uvrim izo avira she'im v'rtzonam. Why did Bnei Yisrael want to do this? Because Bnei Yisrael wanted to send the message very strongly to Hashem that if we do make mistakes, which inevitably we will, we want you to understand that this is lo birtzoninu, that this is not our will. Hashem, we want the Torah to be so strong upon us. We want it to be such a clear guideline. We don't want to have any questions. We don't want to have any conflict about whether we are able to violate the Torah, whether we should violate the Torah in a specific situation. We want very clear, strong guidelines of Torah. And we wanted Hashem to know that if we ever do violate the Torah, it was not on our own volition. Rather, it was that we could not overpower the strength of the Yetzer Hara. They wanted Hashem to put the mountain on top of them. Because they knew after this, if they had many things that were coming on top of them, many different pressures, It was not their will. It was not their desire to violate the Torah. They wanted to show Hashem that we would rather die than violate your Torah. So what are we talking about here, the days of Ahasuerus? What happened then? This was all happening when everything was very clear. When we say this was a time of Or, that we very clearly saw Hashem's presence. Hashem was on the day-to-day basis manipulating our lives in a way that we were clearly and easily able to see. So therefore, we are saying to Hashem, when we are able to see clearly, of course, we want to follow in the ways of your Torah. We want you to hold this over us. We want it to be a pressure on us because we want you to know how much we know that we must keep this Torah. However, what happens in the times of Hasara Panim, when things are more hidden, when we don't feel Hashem's presence there as much? It was then in those times as well, that when we came to a situation like the days of Ahasuerus, of Hasaras Panim, when we didn't see Hashem so clearly, we wanted to reaffirm that this was the approach we were taking. We wanted to reaffirm to Hashem, Kimu v'kiblu, that they stood up and they reestablished this kifia on themselves, that they reestablished this pressure on themselves, even when the choice wasn't so clear in front of them like it had been at Matan Torah. The acceptance or denial of the Torah was very clear at Matan Torah. During the days of Ahasuerus, not as clear, but they wanted to make the same point. So Kimu v'kiblu, Kimu masha kiblu kfar. They got up and they reaffirmed to Hashem, we want to show you how much we know is at stake by observing the Torah. So the third approach is that B'nai Israel willingly entered under, that this was part of their Na'aseh V'Nishma. That first they said Na'aseh V'Nishma to show to Hashem that they had the initial buy-in, and then when Hashem picked up the mountain, they walked underneath it. They entered themselves into this seemingly extreme situation to show Hashem their level of commitment. That Hashem should always know what their true basic intentions are. Even if sometimes they stray, Hashem should know that this is the actions of the Yetzer Hara and not what they intended to do, not what they desire to do. So again, just to recap the three approaches, the first approach was the approach of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, that he says this idea of the two parts of Matan Torah, the willing Na'aseh V'Nishma, and the Kafa Aleihem Har Kegigis, leads us to a relationship that is comprised of both Yiras Hashem and Ahavas Hashem. The second approach, the approach of the Sfas Emes, was giving us the ability to be Moser Nefesh for Torah. That if we only accepted Torah in the method of Na'aseh V'Nishma, and we only accepted it when things were all good and well, then what would happen when it came to situations in which it wasn't not going to be as pleasant, that we were going to have to sacrifice our lives? We had to go through this process of accepting the Torah through the kifiyah as well, in order to have the fortitude to be able to stand up in those situations and continue to do Ratzon Hashem. And the third approach is that Hashem did not lift it over us menacingly. Rather, Hashem picked up the mountain and we entered under our own volition to show Hashem our level of commitment, that it wasn't just Na'aseh V'Nishma when everything was beautiful, but rather we wanted to show Hashem the extent to which we wanted to accept the Torah. And in the days of Ahasuerus, when we are in a new reality, we are in a new type of interaction with Hashem, we reaffirmed that statement as well. That Kimu Masha Kiblu Kfar, we still are committed to Hashem to the largest extent, and we never want to violate Hashem's words. Perhaps the Yetzer Hara takes advantage of us sometimes, but we have total and complete commitment to Hashem, not only when we see him directly in front of us, as at Matan Torah, but also when there is Hasara Panim, when we don't see Hashem so clearly in front of us. So I think when we are reading this week's Parsha, and we are learning about the Aseres Hadibros and the giving of the Torah, it's important to reflect upon our relationship with Hashem. And what was it that we entered into at Matan Torah? Was it just a list of laws? Or as we saw today, really an approach to our relationship with Hashem in general.